Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
As Jesus and his disciples were proceeding on their journey, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus answered, "Foxes have dens, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, let me go first and bury my father." But he answered, "Let the dead bury their dead. But you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to my family at home." Jesus answered him, "No one who sets a hand to a plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today on this feast of St. Francis of Assisi, this Gospel can help us to see an angle into St. Francis' vocations and our own vocation and the type of response that the Lord wants. We have three people here, two who volunteer to follow the Lord, the third who was called by the Lord. But there were three defective ways of approaching it, and Jesus wants us, who are called by him not just once in the past, but every day anew, to look at how wholehearted our reply existentially is. Someone cries out, "I will follow you wherever you go." At first, what an extraordinary availability. What a beautiful desire. But Jesus wanted this anonymous person to know what the cost would be. So he starts, "Foxes have dens, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Are you prepared to follow me as a homeless, itinerant preacher? Are you prepared ultimately to follow me to nakedness on Golgotha? Are you prepared to let everything go, including your very life?" We don't know what the man's answer was. But the Lord similarly wants us, who have chosen to follow the Lord wherever his will leads us, to know what the cost is. And not just the cost, but what the reward is. And we'll see that on the third interplay. To another, Jesus said, "Follow me." This man replied, "Let me first go and bury my father." There's nothing in this text that implies that the father was moribund, that he was almost ready to die. That could have taken 5 years, 10 years, 20 years longer to die. What this man was saying is, "Lord, I do want to follow you. You're important to me. I do take you seriously. But the fourth commandment trumps the first commandment. First, let me care for my dad." And Jesus replied, "Let the dead bury their dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Don't live just in this world. Live where real life comes from. And you'll be loving your dad not less, but more, because now you'll become capable of proclaiming the priority of the kingdom, even to your dad, so that he might know life and have it to the full. To the third, who said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first at least let me say goodbye to my family at home." We know that this was the request of Elisha to Elijah. It's exactly, and Elijah's response was, "Well, do it." When we get this reading in Sunday Mass, that's what the first reading is. "Do it. Who am I to stop you?" So Elisha did, and then he came and he followed Elijah. But the Lord was asking of us something greater than he was asking of Elisha. And Jesus said, no one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom. In other words, don't look to what you're losing. Look to what you're gaining. And you're gaining something so much greater. He wasn't saying that just saying bye to parents is some type of an evil thing, but he was able to read the heart and recognize that it was only a partial following, and the person didn't quite grasp what he was gaining. So the Lord wanted him to see that. Again, we don't know the response to any of these. We pray that they turned out well, but one of the reasons why there is no response is because the response is meant to be given by each of us. Today we celebrate the Feast of St. Francis, and we can use this gospel to look at his goal. The first 25 years of his life, when he himself said in his Fioriti that he lived a sinful life, we don't know what that means, but he was certainly a pleasure lover. And the life of the party, the king of the feast, as he used to call himself. He wasn't really responding to the Lord's call. But as Pope Benedict said in 2007, when he went for the 800th anniversary of his conversion, that the Lord was constantly calling Francis, and there were four main summons to conversion that allow us to put flesh on these words. And they also teach us about our perpetual conversion. First one, you know, was a conversion through charity. He was riding on out to Spoleto, soldier, seeking worldly honor. And a leper asked for alms. And Francis was just afraid of catching the leprosy. Even though he had pity on the person who was suffering, he just sped away, but his heart was moved. So what he did is he had the horse turn around, come back, and rather than just drop alms on the ground and have the leper pick it up or even drop it into his hands, Giovanni Bernardone, which was his baptismal name, dismounted, took the leper's hands and put the alms in his hands and kissed the leper's hands. Was converted that first time through charity, that he recognized that the Lord was asking him to put his hand to that plow of love. That he had to bury the dead man within him and allow Christ fully to come alive. That he had to see in this leper, in all the disgusting odor and repulsive sights, that really was the one who had nowhere to lay his head in disguise. Second conversion was probably the most famous. He was on the slope of Assisi in the dilapidated church dedicated to Pope St. Damian. And as he was kneeling there, probably thinking about the meeting of the leper and how the Lord was calling to more, the crucifix spoke, called him by his nickname, Frenchie, Francis, because his mom was French. Rebuild my church, which you can see is falling into ruins. This was the real summons for Francis's whole life, to be part of the rebuilding project. And Francis interpreted at first literally that what the Lord was asking was to rebuild that church of St. Damian. So he sold his dad's fabric, got the money in order to be able to get the stone and the mortar and the whole rest of it, and rebuilt the church. But the Lord had a far greater rebuilding project in mind for Francis, because the church is not made out of marble, wood, bricks, and glass, but men, women, boys, and girls. And as Pope Innocent saw the night before Francis came to get him to approve his rule, and in a dream saw Francis upholding the Cathedral of St. John Lateran, which is a symbol of the church throughout the world, that Francis was being called to help the Lord rebuild the church living stone by living stone, beginning with the rebuilding project that the Lord had started in Francis. Today's first reading, how fitting it is when we get 2 days of Nehemiah in 2 years, that we get this, and the real desire in Nehemiah to rebuild the Lord's city and the Lord's temple, that he was sad. And so is the Lord sad whenever his church has fallen into ruins. He wants each of us to respond the way he called St. Francis to. The church is semper reformanda, always in need of restructuring, always in need of rebuilding and reform. And we've received that call just as much as St. Francis has. Rebuild my church, which you can see has fallen into ruins in so many different places. Rebuild the individual temples so that I can dwell in them. Don't accept that the church is just going to get dilapidated, whether we're talking about a particular edifice or whether we're talking about the spiritual edifice, which is the church, just getting smaller, getting resigned to the fact that it's never going to be what it is. Nope. The Lord, as he started with Francis, wants to start with us. He wants us to put our hand to that plow and work that field. Third conversion flowed from the second. His father was very upset that Francis not just had sold his fabrics. The father was wealthy. It wasn't just about the money. But the father thought that he was losing his son to God. Thought his son was losing his mind, really taking these things of faith seriously, rather than just going to Mass on Sunday and being generous to the priest when they asked you for some type of benefaction. But he was actually starting to live in a totally radical way. And so Pietro Bernardone denounced his son to Bishop Gubbio, and there at the Church of St. Mary Magdalene in Assisi, in the courtyard, gave the charges. And Francis copped to them. He had, in fact, stolen the fabric from his father's place and rebuilt. So he would have to do restitution. But then Francis, in this moment, went beyond it. He said, "In fact, Dad, the very clothes I am wearing were given to me by your generosity." And so he stripped, returned the clothes to his father, and he said, "Now I can finally say, Padre nostro che sei nei cieli, our Father who art in heaven, that I am going to entrust myself entirely to the providence of that Father and not you." That he began to take seriously those words of the gospel, that we shouldn't worry about what we're to eat, drink, wear, or sleep. That our Heavenly Father knows we need all of these things and will care for us more than the lilies and the sparrow. That was the total radical conversion to God, which allowed him to carry out that rebuilding project and that act of charity for all the spiritual lepers in the world. And the fourth calling that the Lord gave to Francis to convert totally to the Lord was 2 years before he died. At the age of 42, September 17th, 1224, he was praying in a cave of Laverna, making more or less what we would call today a day of recollection. And the crucifix spoke to Francis again, but spoke in a totally different way. Came and pierced Francis with the sacred stigmata so that he would ultimately be conformed interiorly and exteriorly in his body and in his soul to the Lord, so that he would experience what is said at the basilica where St. Francis is buried every time that there's a Mass said, because this is the reading taken from Galatians. "I have been crucified with Christ, and the life I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me." That what the Lord is asking is not a minor course correction in our life. The Lord is asking for it all. to such a degree that we become conformed even to his wounds and to the love that led him voluntarily to be wounded that way. That was where the building project in Francis was essentially complete. And that's where the Lord calls each of us in some way to be so conformed to the Lord and to his love that others in seeing us might see the Lord in the same way that people in the 1200s, when they saw Francis, saw a real image of Jesus Christ and stated it. Today, as we come on his feast day, the Lord says to each of us, "You follow me." We cry out to him, "Lord, I want to follow you wherever you go." And the Lord will show us the means. It's the same means he gave Francis. To live what our gospel verse was, that we consider everything else so much rubbish so that we might gain Christ and be found in him. The Lord ultimately wants to reconstruct us and use us as his living stones to rebuild the church and the whole world. May our response resemble the total response of the one who went from King of the Feast to herald of the great King. Thank you.